Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 234 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast.
And I'm super excited to bring you my interview with Michael Keskin from Bark City Barbecue in Portland, Oregon. That's Bark City BBQ. I've wanted to talk to Michael for a long time because I started to see his menu online and see what he was putting out, and I'm like, it's Central Texas style barbecue, but there's something different about it. There's something, I hate to say chefy, but there's something more chefy about it. There's something more deliberate about his combinations and unique things that he puts out. I think this will be really inspiring if you're a restaurateur or if you're someone that is just looking for something creative. If you're in Portland or Seattle or somewhere in between and visit Bark City Barbecue, it's for sure somewhere you want to go. We get into his background. He moved a lot. He moved around a lot. He finally made his way to Oregon and then finally to Portland. He was a sous chef a number of different times at different restaurants, but he also worked for Podnas Pit, which is a barbecue joint in Portland that's been there for a long, long time, run by Rodney Muirhead, and it's kind of a staple in the Portland area. So it's interesting that he cut his chops there and then finally went the route of opening his own spot. And we talk all about his progression and how his menu changed and how things have changed since COVID and how they shut down for a little bit and now do online ordering. You can order ahead, but most people come and order at the cart. Portland, they have these areas and similar to Austin, and I think there's a few other places across the United States where they'll have a number of food trucks or carts all together in one spot. So you could come eat. They have tables, communal tables, and I'm sure there's a lot of spacing now. It gives you an opportunity to sample a bunch of different things, or if you're with people that don't want barbecue, they want chicken, or they want other things, it works out. I really think you're going to dig this. He's got some really unique, cool things on his menu, things that I had never heard of at a barbecue spot. So I can't thank Michael enough for taking the time and just giving us an opportunity of his journey and how it is right now during a weird time in the restaurant world. And the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast and YouTube show is brought to you by Treaty Oak Distilling, available at treatyoakdistilling.com or their physical location in Dripping Springs. They have a lot of new products coming out. They also retooled the bottles, which is really cool, but has nothing to do with the flavor of their beverages, but they're always innovating, always doing really cool things. Great people, great food, barbecue joint on spot called Alice's Restaurant. Gotta check out their physical location when you can, when it's safe to travel or when you're able to travel. But treatyoakdistilling.com. And if you're digging these, please subscribe. I'm excited to say that I'm now past 5,000 subscribers. Thank you all for watching and listening and checking this out. I really appreciate it. That's a huge milestone. And if you're not subscribed, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out. I do 2 to 3 of these per week. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. With links to all the podcasts and YouTube stuff, as well as barbecue news, barbecue joint stuff, everything connected to the barbecue joint world. I'm on all social media at Kevin's BBQ Joints. But at the end, stay safe, support your local restaurant, be it barbecue, sandwich, sushi, whatever it is, support them because it's a really, really difficult time. And there was a big enthusiasm to help them out at the beginning, but this is a long haul. There's a lot of stuff going on. So please, please do what you can to support. Buy a gift card, get to go, curbside, whatever you feel comfortable with. And thank you so much for listening to the show. Have a great week. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. Just waking up here.
What are your usual Tuesdays like?
Tuesday, well, I might go shopping and get some, pick up some ribs at the meat purveyor today. I think I need to get some for the week because I have all the other stuff already at the cart and do a little, and then maybe a little more shopping. Then probably just gonna relax, go to the river today, do some swimming.
Cool. What river would that be?
The Sandy River. It's only about 20-minute drive from home right now, so pretty cool, pretty close.
Does that feed off into the Pacific?
Feeds off into the Columbia, I believe.
Oh, that goes in the Columbia because the Columbia is right, and Columbia is kind of. Doesn't that it bisect, like, is it between Oregon and Washington?
Yeah, exactly. Like that, the north side of the Columbia is Washington and the south is Oregon. Yeah. So it's really close. And then obviously the Willamette goes right downtown. And then that, I think, I don't know if the Columbia and the Willamette don't meet. I don't think. I'm not sure.
For people that haven't gone and flown into Portland and hung out there, there's a lot of bridges. It's really cool. It's an interesting city the way it's made up.
Yeah, it is interesting. There's what, like at least 15 bridges going down the whole thing. And then there's even one way north, the St. John's Bridge. That's like the coolest one. It's super big.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. Oh, but also it's just neat to have a city set up that way because there, you know, a lot of people come from places that are either just flat.
Exactly.
I want to jump into your, like right now, day to day, how is business for you right now? Or has, and have you, did you have to shut down at all during the beginning of COVID?
when March came, it was like, what, March 15th? I think that was the day we closed down. You know, I had two employees at the time, and one of them, or actually, no, I had one, and one was taking the max from Beaverton. So it's like a 30-minute, maybe even longer, 45-minute max ride into Portland.
Okay.
He's like my star player. I've known him for at least 6 years in Portland, and he's worked for me. So he's really important. I was a little nervous, and he was nervous about taking the max.
Makes sense.
So we shut down for a little bit and then went to pre-orders, and it was really awesome. Like, when we first shut down, a lot of our customers and regulars were donating money to my staff and buying lots of gift cards from when we reopened. So we had, you know, it was pretty awesome, and really, really, really impressed with how the support I got from the community here.
Wow.
So then we opened up on, I believe it was May 16th, and the pre-orders were just going crazy, and we were selling, not doing walk-ups at the time, and then really limited hours too. And then we've gone to full on, like, Thursday through Sunday, 12 to 7:30, and then we're actually going to be going next week, Wednesday to Sunday, 5 days a week.
Why do you think that you were able to go almost back to normal hours? Is it because after a while everyone kind of figured out the safety protocols and the best business practices?
Yeah, just I felt more comfortable, and we like set up a little like a nice system in the cart with ordering where there's no touching. We set the food right outside, they grab it on the shelf and they're on their way. And then some people call us and we'll run out to the car and put it in their trunk for them if they want. Because we have a parking lot right next to our smoker and cart, so it's pretty sweet.
Okay, well, so that works out perfect. Did you have pre-orders prior to COVID?
No, never. And I mean, now I'm thinking that might be a good thing to have all the time.
I agree.
But yeah, it's been great. And the neighborhood I'm in is really family-orientated, so a lot of families will plan their meals, and they stop by and get it for the day or for the weekend. And they're always, they always comment like, that was enough for like 3 days for us.
Oh, that's
like,
cool.
Yeah.
You're like, I could eat that one day. And that's why I think barbecue does set itself apart from other foods, because you can, it's food that you could spread across a number of days. And if people want to freeze some of it, that's something they could do.
Yeah. I'm always more like, I love it when it's like straight from that smoker, you know, that's like the key, but cause that's just cause I analyze it too much, mm-hmm. but with the to-goes, they love it. They're always coming back and, that was so good. I heated up the whole brisket just like you said, and, you know, and it came out awesome. So it makes me pretty happy.
And you could use a brisket for chili. You could use it for a lot of different things. Did you grow up in Virginia?
Yeah, I grew up in Virginia. That's where I was born. I was born in Alexandria and then moved to California when I was about 2 and lived in San Jose, Santa Clara until I was 11.
Oh, wow.
Went back to Virginia. And then did a little stint in Georgia for a year when I was in high school, and then then graduated high school in Reston, Virginia, and went to Virginia Tech down in Blacksburg, Virginia.
Was your family in the military or something? Or why did you guys travel somewhere?
No, well, my parents were divorced, so I lived in California with my mom, back to my dad.
How was that as a kid? Was that something you liked, or was that something that was difficult?
You know, it's always challenging to have that separation with parents, you know, but, you know, it was great. I had like, once I got to Virginia and really settled in, I really had some really good close friends that I developed over there. So we had a good time. It was fun.
Do you still have family in Virginia?
My mom now lives in Florida, and my my dad and stepmom, actually my dad passed away last year.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you know, it's tough, know. But it's part of the game that we're in as life, you know. Just have to, you know. It is what it is.
Can't stop that, something like that. But like, my dad died 10 years ago, and I often think like he lucked out and didn't have to deal with what we're dealing with right now. Because
that's true. So my mom lives in South Carolina, which is great because I love to go visit her because there's some really cool barbecue joints there. So that's where they're at now, and then I'm here in Virginia. And then my wife, her family's in Arizona.
Wow.
So they live in Hilton Head, which is pretty like isolated community. So it's real. It's been really mellow over there for them, I think. You know, a lot of the homes are really separated, and people are older, so they're really careful with what they're doing. And
there's really not a lot. That's a nice part of South Carolina.
Yeah.
Lots of resorts and golf and things. It does feel like a place you could retire. And so Arizona's a place you could retire. All these retirement places.
Yeah. Well, it's too bad, too, because when you go, there's not really there really isn't that much barbecue in that little specific spot of South Carolina at all.
You have to do some driving.
Yeah, you have to drive.
But it's worth it. Driving, it's worth it. That's why people need to drive and see you. If they're anywhere, if they're in Seattle, they can come down and see you. That's not too bad.
Yeah, exactly. Seattle, or if they're doing that trip down to Eugene even. Mm-hmm. So Portland's definitely a big tourist town, I think, during the summer. This summer, obviously not so much, because I think that we just have a reputation of having so much different food here that people come here for kind of like travel with food. And
oh yeah, it's a unique spot in the West Coast. How did you end up in Portland then?
When I moved to Oregon, I lived in Eugene first for 7 years. And after, I think I was about 27, I was like, all right, well, let's move up to Portland. Let's give it a whirl. So I came up here and I was a chef, a sous chef. I got hired as a sous chef at a restaurant in Northwest Portland. So I just been here since.
You went to culinary school, right?
No, I didn't. I learned from many years of being mentored by different chefs. And so it's been great. It was that's probably my biggest passion with barbecue, is being just with that culinary drive experience that I've had with it, you know? So it's always been a passion of mine to do barbecue since I was a kid. And so I think it fueled even more so like 5 years ago when I started thinking about this adventure where I'm at right now.
And what was that? Was it because of these trips? I think I had read something that you had a number of trips to the South. Is that kind of what the epiphany was? Is that, and that you wanted to recreate that in Portland?
Yeah, the trips were, when I was younger, we did a couple road trips where we drove through and went to lots of different barbecue joints in the South and in Texas. And I think that was all, was always something that fueled it. I think it was just more like corporate life as a chef. I realized that it's time to separate from that and do my own thing. And I knew that barbecue was where my passion was with, and that I would give my heart to. So it was a pretty simple decision on that.
Did you have a pit at the time?
No, I haven't. This is a funny story. So I was the executive chef of a restaurant in town that delivers healthy food called Farm to Fit. So they, you know, I'm packaging these healthy chef created meals. And my buddy over at Potna's Barbecue was hiring, and I was like, whoa, this is great. And so I went from, you know, healthy packaged food to barbecue. And that was when, you know, it really struck the match even more so. And I was working there.
So you worked with Rodney then?
Yeah, I did. So Rodney taught me really the basics of barbecue. And then I left Potna's for a couple of years and was a chef again at some local restaurants. And that's when I decided to pull the trigger and get back into it. So it was fun. It was really cool, because when we started the adventure, we got my little small smoker. I think it was a Tejas, I think. So I had one of those in my backyard, and that's where I did all my recipe development. And then we found our first smoker, Little Pickle was her name. And so we bought that. It was from the Veterans of Oregon City offset smoker. I had some welders help me to build a firebox, because the firebox was literally a wood stove connected to it.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. So I had that removed and we put on a new firebox, and then we had the smokestack was on the top, and I had it removed and put to the side of the smoker. So I did a little bit of stuff, but I'm not a welder. So,
but that was from, like, you probably from your knowledge from Podness that you saw, like, how airflow, what you learned all that, right?
Yeah, we had an old hickory over at Podness. So,
oh really, is that okay? Is that what he's cooking on? Okay,
yeah, now he has an oiler smoke. Yeah.
But he's like one of like the grandfathers of like of West Coast barbecue.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell. I mean, when he was the first, I mean, we used to go there on Rib Tuesday and suck down 12 bones, you know. Uh-huh. Like, so, like, yeah,
people like Daniel, sure, used to go, like, it was, you know, that's, I think that he didn't he do something with Aaron sometimes that like that.
Oh yeah, they're super good buddies. Yeah. Aaron comes up and every year during feast, and then I've actually saw Aaron at the coffee shop drinking coffee one morning, and I was like, oh, I should just go meet him, but I don't want to bother him.
He's a nice guy. He would be really nice, but yeah, it is kind of nice not to, because he.
I met him one time when he was in town at Podna's. Actually, he was for the breakfast thing he did with feast, uh-huh. And I remember he had like the pink butcher paper, because at Podna's at the time we were using brown. I was like, whoa, he's so advanced, he's got pink
you know, I've heard people say like, that's why it's really, I'm like, that's not the only There's a lot of other reasons. It's not just the, but it is funny how you perceive things, and that's interesting. So then, did you want to then, as you were you going to open a cart, or were you going to open a brick and mortar, or were you in between, or?
Yeah, I knew that the food cart was the way to go in Portland, and with barbecue, and also with cost, because you can just start small, you know what you're doing. So yeah, we got the cart and got the stuff I needed for it. Got the smoker, and I literally, July 3rd, I think, I quit my job, and by September 3rd, we were open.
This is 2017.
Yeah, 2017. So it was a real quick turnaround, and then it was awesome. We first opened up, and I remember like having 8 cases of ribs or something, and like four cases of pork butts, and within like 2 weeks, I was like, whoa, this is way too much.
What was on your menu at the beginning?
We had no brisket then. We had pulled pork, the ribs, the smoked beer link sausage that we make, turkey and chicken. We had smoked chickens, and then we had all of our sides, which was, you want to hear what those were
Yeah,
too?
for sure.
Potato salad, coleslaw, pickled avocado,
Huh.
cornbread, barbecue beans. I think that's all of them.
Pickled avocado. Can you explain that?
Yeah, just take equal parts water and vinegar and some sugar, crushed chili, garlic, and cilantro. I threw in the cilantro because I figured it goes well with avocados. And then bring that to a boil, cool it down. You have to have the avocado where it's like just kind of ripe, but still a little firm.
Okay, makes sense.
And make little slices and then let them sit in that pickled liquid for about 2 to 3 hours. And then you're good to go.
Do you sell that? That's a side, or do you put that on?
It's a side,
Huh.
yeah.
Do you still have that?
No, I took it off the menu just during the COVID transition to simplify the menu a little
First,
bit.
yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, super good. It's just a unique, different thing to bring to barbecue,
Oh,
you
totally.
know?
No, I haven't even seen that before. Have you seen it anywhere else?
No, the only place I saw it was on Pinterest. That's where it came from. I saw it on Pinterest and I was like, whoa, that's gonna go perfect with the barbecue cart. And so we put it on, and so now we just do it as specials here, you know, on the weekend we'll do some and people will want it. They ask for it.
That's really unique. I was actually texting someone last night, a person at a barbecue place here in LA, and we were just talking about different sides and how like Leroy and Lewis and different places do things differently. Than you don't have to just do the regular Texas Trinity. You can kind of branch out now. People are doing that these days, and that's kind of a cool. 'Cause I'm focusing a lot. I have a piece of I'm writing just on the weird sides that people do across the country, and
Yeah.
that's and I'm like, wow, that's a very unique. Do you have photos of that on your Instagram?
I do
Okay.
actually. And like last weekend we did and I've done this before too. I took some of the turkey bones and smoked them and made a turkey stock, and then took cabbage and did firebox cabbage. So I charred the cabbage in the
Oh,
firebox
that's cool.
and then braised it with the bacon. I had some pork belly left over and braised it with pork belly and onions and the turkey stock, the cabbage that was in the firebox, and then, you know, some salt and pepper, and then served it with a charred red pepper barbecue sauce on top. And so, like, yeah, it's fun to do
Charred cabbage tastes so good.
anything
Yeah,
charred.
charred lettuce. Have you ever, like, even charred lettuce is awesome. Like, it's, yeah, there's, that's, yeah, anything charred cauliflower, there's some awesome thing. Wow. So then, how was the reaction then at the beginning? And was it just, how many days a week were you open at the very beginning?
Oh, the beginning it was 5 days. Actually, I think it was 6 days a week. I went big. The first 3 months, it was
That is big.
I wasn't even tired. I was just like, "Let's go! This is awesome!" And then it hit me probably like 4 months later. In the beginning, it was a slow start for sure. You know, there was no traction from when I began. No one knew about who I was or what I was doing. Then the Willamette Weekly, it's a local magazine. They found out about me and they stopped by, and it was funny because I added brisket like that week they came by, the
Oh.
week after they did their first run, and they're like, well, we had to come back now and try the brisket. So like they came back again, like, are you gonna add anything else to the menu right now? It's like, no. So then, you know, and then it just grew from there slowly.
I think it was David Lanzell that I had first heard about you guys. Food and
Oh
Wine?
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. David's cool. I didn't even know this, but he came to the cart a couple times repeatedly, and because he has some really good friends here, and that's when he did top barbecue, wait, the top 50, top two places in the 50 states. And for Oregon, Matt's Barbecue was number one, and he gave me second place that year.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, it was awesome. I was like, really blown away to be in that article with so many barbecue greats. It was just like, whoa.
Yeah, that was actually, I should feature that again. That's an amazing piece that he put together. And he travels, he's the crazy, I mean, I don't know if you follow him on Instagram, but he's...
Oh, I do, and insane. I get so jealous. I'm always like, whoa, where you are? I was like, I want to be there. Can I taste that?
I'm commenting on, like, almost everything, like, his story, and he's like... So one time he wrote me, he's like, Kevin, have you ever been to the East Coast, like, during the summer, during, like, hiking? And I'm like, no, I haven't, but it's just amazing, because he's like... And then he was, like, in Europe for a while. I don't know, he's
yeah,
oh, man, that's a huge thing, and that's a good thing that he featured.
Yeah, so David, so it was cool because the whole David thing really also like sparked the real beginning of what I've been looking for with Portland, like making Portland, and yeah, you know, making Portland this barbecue hub. You know, like you can go to Matt's, you can go to Kyle over at Holy Trinity, you can go to Podna's or wherever, and really have Portland be known as like a great barbecue hub. So
it wasn't like that 10 years ago, or even 8 years ago, or 6 years ago.
No.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. So it's gotten pretty good.
And then I think even Daniel Vaughn said that like Portland is one of the best cities outside of Texas for barbecue.
Yeah. That was huge. It's a huge comment. Yeah. When he showed up at the cart that day, I was like, whoa, there's Daniel Vaughn. This is so cool. And,
did you notice him right offhand? Like, did you?
Yeah. And I didn't want to like call him out on it. Like, hey, I know who you are. But then eventually I did after he ate and stuff. So.
So you chatted with him a bit?
Yeah. Not too long. Not just briefly. It was actually a cold, clear day. So I think it was like late November or December when he came. Okay. Like that.
The location that you started out, you're not that same. You moved, right?
Yeah, I did. I moved. I took the truck to a new location just during the COVID transition, based on a couple factors, mainly like with a cart, you know, you can move so easily. And yeah. So I took the cart and moved because of my old location. I knew that I wanted to save some overhead, and so I moved to the new spot. And I'm really happy about it. The new spot's awesome. Very positive. Lots of great families. It's managed. The pod is managed really awesome. So it's cool.
So is it a place where there's multiple carts? And then also, what is that area like? What's it called?
Oh, it's the Sandy Boulevard area. So it's on Sandy and 52nd, and it's the Rose City Food Park. And there's like, I think we have 13 or 14 carts now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Once I got over there, a couple other carts moved in, and it's been buzzing, and so it's becoming a popular little pod now.
Do you guys have outdoor seating?
Yeah, we have outdoor seating. The tables are super spread apart. We have benches with, you know, umbrellas and stuff, and we have real bathrooms, and we're pretty close to the airport, I guess you can say. Like, if you get off the airport, you just come down and then go right down Sandy, and there you are. So.
And are you the only barbecue option in that group?
Yeah, well, we have an island barbecue there. So I think he's from, I think it's Guam Barbecue. So,
wow, that's wild.
Yeah, it's delicious, but it's not competitive because it's totally different barbecue. So he doesn't have a smoker, he uses a charcoal rigs, I think, something like that.
Now, when did you get the primitive pit?
I got that, oh, we're just passing over a year right now. I think I got it last June or July.
What was the impetus for that? Did you just decide I needed more space, or?
Yeah, I couldn't, like, throwing pork belly on and beef ribs and regular ribs and briskets, it was just so full and limited that I was selling out too early. So I needed to get something bigger for sure.
And what do you have, a 500 or?
I have 1,000 gallons.
1,000, wow, nice.
It's awesome. So when we went from that old smoker to that, it was just like, you know, like, I don't know what car to call it, but like going from like an old school buggy to like the machine. It was awesome.
Well, did you contact a bunch of different pit builders, or did you just contact JD offhand? Like was that the first?
Yeah, we looked at all the smokers and the cost and, you know, and all those different factors. And JD, I really like the way that those pits looked, so rugged, you know. So it was easy choice at that point.
What's that process like when you talk to JD? Just for people that need to know, because I'm also highlighting pit builders because I think that's an important facet of our business. Now, did you have a pit in mind, like a specific one, or did you tweak it at all, or was it?
Yeah, just straightforward. I just took what, you know, I just let him know I just wanted 1,000 gallon and which side I wanted the doors to open, and I didn't, you know, I wasn't really needing a heavy insulated firebox, because in Portland it doesn't really get that cold. You know, yeah, there's some 30s degree days, but generally it's in your 40s and 50s. So I didn't think it was that. And then I was like, can I get to choose a color? And he's like, well, sometimes you just got to get what you get. And so, I was okay with that, you know? So it was cool. I really liked the color of it. But no, I think for me, I did tell him I wanted two rib racks on there, because that's really important to have for me, because I feel like the way that I make my ribs, I need them up a little bit higher to get some temperature on them.
What was the lead time for it?
Oh, I asked him if he can rush it for me. So I think he has like a little rush program for people that are like in 911 situations.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I felt. So I think it was about 2 to 3 months.
That's not bad.
Quick. Yeah, it was awesome.
Did he drive it out, or did he go pick it up?
No, I think he hires someone to put it on this guy showed up on a beat up Dodge Ram, and it was just a huge trailer on the back of it. He drove all the way from Georgia. And I was like, hey, you want some ribs? I hooked him up.
No, because sometimes he comes out, like, it's interesting to see, like, how all these guys, because some guys go pick out their pits, like, it depends on the whole process. That would have been an interesting journey if you went out to Georgia and drove it all the way out.
I think he's got three of them in town. JD's, you know, he's got myself, and I think there's two other barbecue guys in town that have his pit, too.
That's nice. That's nice that... I like to see the word spreading for people, and for, you know, that's the fact that other people have pits, offset pits. Are there regulation? Like, how is Portland with offset pits?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, when I was at my first location, there was a couple neighbors that complained, and the city showed up, and I was really respectful with the guy, you know, cause I think that's how you get through to people instead of getting upset. Cause at first I wanted to scream and yell, but he was just, I was like, what's going on? He's like, well, this neighbor doesn't like the smell of the smoke. And so I was like, okay. Cause you can't complain about the smoke. You have to complain about the smell. That's the legal terms that work here.
Really?
Yeah. So don't tell anybody that. But
hopefully, so, I highly doubt they're watching this, so they're okay. Yeah. I think.
So too. So I asked. I said, well, "What should I do?" And he told me just to move it over to a different area of the pod. And I moved it over there, and he never came back. I called him 3 times and told him that we moved it. And he never came back. So I just think it depends on the location, because there's been a lot of issues with smoke in Portland with some. Not necessarily with some barbecue places, but also some smoked chicken locations. Mm. So you really have, like, my new location is pretty awesome. There's nothing around it, so it's pretty safe.
There's no complaints. As long as there's no complaints, the city, yeah. and you're in a safe area, it's not an issue with the safety wise too. So that's amazing that you can, because Los Angeles, we can't. It takes, you know, an act of God to be able to have a smoker in a location.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's certain, like, I know that a lot of companies in general that have been in Los Angeles or Orange County have moved to, like, Mexico, like, over the year, like, moved to different places, or Arizona or Nevada, because of the air quality management, all that. It's very restrictive here, and they're trying to change it slowly but surely. I think Heritage Barbecue in San Juan Capistrano, they got theirs approved somehow, so.
I think it takes a lot, too, like, in the city of Portland. I think that even when they have, like, no fire rules because of like if there's a lot of fires out in the country.
Yeah.
Even barbecue joints are still allowed to work. I think it's only private. So
they don't want people grilling in their backyard.
No, I think like more like your fireplace, like cutting off the fireplace of smoke.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Are there certain times when they tell you that?
Yeah.
I live like in the city, so like there's no.
Yeah. I think it happens when we've had some really big fires and lots of smoke coming into from the winds, you know. So I think they just try to decrease the air quality somehow.
I want to know what's on your menu now. And then has Fred Armisen ever come by?
No.
I've never seen it. Portlandia is off the air, I think.
I've had a blazer come by, a couple blazers come by, but no Fred. we have our dry rub ribs, which you can get wet or dry.
I prefer I saw
dry.
That.
Yeah. That's just the Southern boy in me, you know, because just wet ribs. And then that's how I got into barbecue too, is like my dad took me down to DC and there was this pit on the street and he ordered for me. I didn't even get to order. And it was white bread, wet ribs, and white bread. And so that's on the menu. I call it the DC street. So we have that. And then we have sliced brisket and chopped brisket. We have smoked turkey and our cart made beer link.
And you make that from scratch?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, from scratch. And that kind of comes from like my high school, college days where we would barbecue in the backyard with the Johnsonville brats. Uh-huh. Brats. But I wanted something more elevated, so I made that one.
Is that pork or beef?
There's brisket trim in there, but mainly pork too. Probably like 80-20% or so, somewhere around there.
Okay.
And then did I miss anything else on protein? Oh, and then pulled pork, smoked pork butt.
But then you have specials. You said like pork belly sometimes, or
yeah, we'll do pork belly, beef ribs, smoked chicken. Like a couple weeks ago, or maybe a month ago, I did like a hot, like a smoked hot Nashville chicken. That's so cool. I just did the same thing without frying it, but smoked it. During this summer with peaches, I'll make peach glaze. We'll do chicken fried smoked ribs with peach glaze, and I try to like bring that. Kind of like Oregon feel to barbecue sometimes, where people, you know, we really use in Portland, a lot of chefs really use what's around mm-hmm. them.
Oh, without a doubt. Season.
So I try to use that with the barbecue too.
Wow, that's really nice. And then sides wise, you had mentioned sides before, but are they all the same sides pretty much?
Yeah, we have cornbread, barbecue beans, potato salad, coleslaw, and I think that's it on the sides currently.
Do you guys do any dessert?
Oh yeah, we have a banana pudding milkshake. So
what?
So I make pudding and then obviously some vanilla ice cream in there and then banana and then we blend it all up and then it gets some vanilla cookies on top with a creme brulee, like a brulee banana on top too.
Okay.
So it was my twist of the classic banana pudding.
Are you selling a lot of those?
Yeah, we sell a lot. We probably sell about 6 to 7 a day, sometimes more. Wow. Just depends. It's, you know, I don't know. I just thought it was something fun and refreshing to do, you know, and different.
I've never seen that on a menu. That's really cool. So is that, all these things that you have, do you have online ordering where you can order ahead? Is that like, so that you said you have pre-orders, is that all online or do you call ahead?
Yeah, the pre-orders are all online, and basically it's all the meats by the pound, by the pound, and then there's we have like three packages. We have a really big package called the Big Barky, and then we have a Mini Barky, and then we have the Solo Barky, which is like just a small one. And then we have sandwich packs, and we'll put the beef ribs on there so they can order those so they don't sell out before they show up.
Okay.
And then
online, can you set it up so that you can pick up at a certain time?
It's between 12 and 3:30, so they can come between those times, and then other than that, then they can just walk up too. So I think the pre-orders during the first couple months of reopening were really popular. Now I think a lot of my customers know that I'm open, so they're just coming.
Okay. So you're not getting as many pre-orders as you were before?
No, it's not. I mean, it's there for sure, but it was it's definitely more walk-ups now.
And what time do you guys open?
12 o'clock.
So it is 12 o'clock. So
11 o'clock. Sorry. 11.
So walk up is at 11. Pre-orders are at noon.
Yeah, to 12:30. Yeah. Actually, you know what? If they came at 11, I'm going to give it to them.
You're not going to wait an hour. That would suck. They're like, God damn, wait an hour for this. But that would just be mean. But now for pre-orders, can people order like the dessert and all everything? Is all of it?
Oh no, we don't. But the sides are on there. Okay. Oh, we have mac and cheese too. I forgot. Yeah, we have mac and cheese, and that comes with you know those Tim's jalapeno chips.
Uh-huh.
I crumble those up with some rendered bacon, and those get crunched on top of the mac and cheese.
That sounds good. See, everything is like you kind of have your own twist, which is. And Bark City, how did you come with Bark City? Just because of the bark on?
Well, that was one of the factors. Then you know, wood has bark, yeah. Right? And then I'm a pretty big Blazer fan. Sorry if you're a Lakers fan.
I don't even know. Does sports even exist anymore?
So the Blazers are one of our big terms. Yeah, Rip City. So it just really, it all melted perfectly together. It was like Bark City.
Yeah, yeah.
We were thinking Gray City Barbecue, and I was like, that sounds too sad.
It does sound sad. It does. I forgot that you guys were Rip City. Yes. Okay. How big is your trailer? Or your cart?
Oh, I think it's like 8 feet wide, 8.5 feet wide, and 16 feet long. So,
but there's room to make a mac and cheese. There's room for everything. I guess you figure it out, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, we have a full on oven and a flat top, and then I have my warmer in there to keep the meat, you know, warm and stuff. So it's pretty dialed in with lots of space.
Is it a lot of fun? Are you enjoying yourself?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I love this. I mean, you have to with barbecue. I mean, the time it takes and the love, and but yeah, I love it. Like, me and my employee Lee, we work great together, and it's really fun. The best part about being in a cart versus a restaurant is that you get to actually see your customers and talk to them. True. You know, and that's a huge thing for me in barbecue, and I love it seeing them.
But it's now, are people masked up and stuff right now? Is that how it is?
Everyone's masked up, and then they sit down and take it off and eat or whatever. But they come to the cart with a mask, which is great. I haven't really had any issues with anyone.
I could see Portland being good about that. So was there anything else that people, okay, so what's your website? What's your social media? And what's all the best ways to get a hold of you? And if you want to order, can you order ahead? Say you want 5-10 pounds. Like, is that something a couple days ahead they could get?
So our website is barkcitybarbecue.com. And there you'll see a link, probably like six of them, because my wife is a graphic designer, so she helps with my website. And so...
Yeah, it's really, she does a good job. Tell her.
Yeah, she does a great job.
Yeah.
And so the website has the pre-order there. And then my Instagram is Bark City Barbecue. And then we're also on Twitter and Facebook too. But if you let's say it's Thursday and you want brisket on Friday, you just have to have your order in Thursday evening.
Okay.
We cut off Friday for Thursday evening. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then, but if the earlier the better, so we can plan, you know.
And you can't order, like, say you do want a big, like, say you're having a party amongst your family lives all in one place. You could order a big amount. You could order larger amounts, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. You can order 6 racks of ribs and pounds of turkey, whatever you want.
Okay. And what are the days a week again?
We'll be moving next week from Wednesday to Sunday, 11 to 7.
If you come in at 5 o'clock, chances are there are certain things that will be sold out, but you can get a full meal, right?
Yeah, for sure. We try to have everything, but like by 5, that's when sliced briskets could be gone.
Yeah.
Or the ribs, because those are the two most popular. But most of the time, we try to make it go all the way or till 7.
Yeah. And if someone comes up and says, I want a little bit of fatty, I want a little bit of lean, you could do that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. For sure.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool. Because some places are like, you just get what you get. Like, really?
No, whatever the customer wants, you know, we'll give them. So if they want all fatty, we'll give them fatty. If they want lean, they can have that. I'll even take off the fat on top of the lean.
That's sad. There's not that much. You should do that and then say, I'm sorry, don't come back. No, I'm joking. No.
That doesn't happen often, but there's sometimes one guy will say that, you know, can I have like no fat?
Yeah. But that's also like my brother, he'll get like a filet at a place, butterflied and well done. He hates fat. And so there's a lot of people.
Then you should get chicken.
Yeah, I think, yeah, his wife is vegetarian, so he doesn't eat a lot of meat anymore. That makes me so sad. And he grew up in a family, we were meat and potatoes family. He must not be my brother. There must be, we need to do a DNA test. We're not connected. He's on the Ancestry and I'm on 23andMe, so we don't know for sure if we're really. You know what's crazy too, is like my cousin, I keep finding out, he was a sperm donor. In fact, he went to USC and he was a sperm donor. He has two kids now that he found out through 23andMe. Yeah, because it's a girl that lives here in San Fernando Valley, and then a guy that lives in Jersey. It's wild.
The only crazy thing I can say right now is that my wife is actually vegetarian.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, she married the pitmaster, but we eat meat at home. You know, I taught her how to make meat chicken.
Are there any influences from her on the menu?
There was actually. We did have a, we took it, like I said, that COVID transition, kind of mainstreamed the menu. But we did have a smoked jackfruit patty on the menu.
Oh, interesting.
And her name is Jennifer, Jen. So it was called the Jenny Benny. And it was smoked jackfruit patty that I made with like garbanzo beans and black eyed peas and mixed, and then I smoked it on the smoker, and it came with Alabama sauce and coleslaw on the bun, It was really good. People liked it a lot.
But it's not on the menu right now.
Not on the menu right now. But I think, you know, it was, being in Portland, I think it's smart to cater to, like, your wife or your husband or your, you know, family members that might want to go with you to the barbecue.
Without a doubt.
You know, so that's why I put it on there.
No, I was texting with someone that exact thing last night. I was saying, we were saying how, and she was saying, yeah, it's great because then, like, yeah, you can come, but your wife or girlfriend doesn't eat meat, but they have an option. And they have some things that they could eat too.
Yeah, for sure.
And also too, it gives people an opportunity to come back again and try different things.
Yeah, I think when we get to brick and mortar or, you know, something of that realm, we're going to have that probably back on the menu.
Is that something you want to do?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But probably not this year, more next year.
No, probably not for the next 8 years.
Okay, so check back in 2028.
I think really the goal would be to have a setting that was, like, able to be more outdoor than indoor, you know, like something that fed into even how barbecue's set up. You know, you walk in, you order, you go sit down, and so kind of that.
That's
kind of
ideal
style
for barbecue, and actually it's ideal now for the way the planet. What's happening in the planet. Both ways is smart.
Yeah, we got lucky with barbecue.
And I want to thank you for thinking that in 2028 there'll still be a planet. So I appreciate that we'll all still be here. That gives me hope.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I think we will be. I think in a couple of years, I think maybe this will be nice because people will maybe clean, like, wash their hands more and be more sanitary. Maybe that's better.
Yeah. I agree. I think, now that everyone's setting that tone, we're going to that normal. It's going to be a relief too, you know, like that release of the pressure.
Imagine imagine when they have a cure or like a, you know, like a vaccine of some sort. Imagine that moment where people can really, like, it's going to be great for restaurants and for people and travel. It'll be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be. It'll be great. And I think also, like you said, it will set that tone, and you'll hopefully have developed some new ways of, you know, being safe and sanitary.
Someone was also telling me too, like, how we have, like, people wear all these fashionable masks now, like all these companies like Gap and different places are making masks, and a lot of people, like, around the world, like in Asian countries, they've worn masks, like surgical masks, if they're feeling sick. I lived in Japan for a year, and people, if they were sick, they will wear masks, like, protect other people. But I wonder if they're looking at us going, wow, like, I didn't know you could make fancy masks. Like, it's so United States to, like, have cool masks.
Yeah, I have about four of them because of, you know, going to the car all the time, you have to wash them. And I have one that's ACDC.
That's right. That's
cool. I don't know. It just was the lady that makes them. It had I like ACDC, but they're not my huge.
Yeah,
huge.
I like them too, but they're not my favorite. But they are, like, they're a solid rock band.
There's, like, a camo one, you know.
I have a camo one too, but they in Japan, they didn't make cool. Like, they have the ability in Japan to be really creative, but they've always just had, like, basic masks.
Yeah, I'm sure there's Hello Kitty ones or something.
And I bet there are now, for sure. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure. there probably was all the time, but no one, like, there's only, like, a small group that was wearing. But I'm glad that we finally got to talk. Like, I'm glad that I've been following you from afar, and I've been really busy. I'm glad that you reached out too, because I've wanted to add your story to it so that when people go up to Portland, I like for people to see you and learn more about you, so that way they get to know you prior to visiting. And your menu is. I love your menu. It sounds amazing.
Well, thank you. So I'm really happy to have done this phone call with you. It's great.
Because you don't have the regular standard, just basic Central Texas style. You have your own twist, which is.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's kind of the angle I was thinking from day one, was trying to really bring, you know, because that, you know, just that little twist on things with certain stuff. But also, I think with Portland, the community here is a big mixing pot of lots of different, you know, like, everyone's either you're from here, but you're also from somewhere else. So I thought trying to tie in those Southern roots where people can see that too and go, oh, that's something familiar with me, you know?
And having, like, certain things that are saucy, that's the South. That's also places in Chicago and things, like, there's places here in LA that have been here forever that when you get it, it's very sauce heavy. And that's something that's a real style. It's a style that some people are used to, and Central Texas style generally doesn't have that, but it's nice to kind of blend that.
Yeah,
I think that's cool. Well, that's rad. Well, have a great day. Have a nice rest of your week and stay safe.
Okay, awesome. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, take care. Nice to meet you.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye.